From a great album called Afrophysicist by trumpeter Theo Croker, who was a news source on my desk a minute ago, but now he's got a microphone that should work. Hi, Theo. How you doing, sir?
Good
to see you, and welcome to London. And we've been playing that version of Michael Jackson's stroke, Stevie Wonder's I Can't Help It, for a while now. It's an explosive version. I guess we always start that conversation about how Michael's music is becoming sort of standardized, and you've epitomized it there with your reinterpretation.
Thank you.
It's standardized, I think.
Yeah.
Michael's music's important.
I guess you grew up listening to Michael's music as well as other things apart from just jazz and blues and your heritage. You actually write some hip-hop as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I have. I mean, I collaborated. It's easy to do. That's like kind of like the new jazz.
The new jazz.
It's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of underground creative thing. Sometimes you have to get away from the jazz musicians in order to do something creative or new, because they can get stuck in a, you know.
You are the Afrophysicist. Tell me about the ingredients that you've been putting in your lab into this album. It's a great album.
Well, thank you. I try to incorporate all the things I learned from traveling and being in different cultures. I lived in China for 7 years in Shanghai. So there's a lot of the influence of the city Shanghai that I lived in, which is a very eclectic city and international. So there's a lot of things to absorb there.
What took you out there?
A show. Somebody hired me to bring a band out and play 6 nights a week, 3 shows a night for 3 months, and then that turned into 6 months. And then once I got a feel for that, I really liked playing that much, and I discovered that I could really, really learn how to play this music properly if I was playing it every night. And that's what, you know, a lot of the older musicians like Marcus Belgrave and I remember 2D Heath at the time that I was hanging around were like, yeah, that's what we used to do in the 50s and in the 40s. So they encouraged it. So I stayed or went back.
And you kind of told me off mic, you don't generally kind of live anywhere because you're always somewhere.
Yeah, I'm into that. I like it now. And I'm single and I don't have kids. So
yeah, young man, single, no kids, right. Traveling the world.
One suitcase.
You're on the road with Dee Dee Bridgewater at the moment, the great Dee Dee Bridgewater, who featured on that and features on 3 cuts on the album. And she kind of helped to produce the album as well.
She completely produced it.
Completely produced it.
Yeah,
she completely
produced it. Well, we actually met in Shanghai. She had come there to do a show for the Jay-Z Festival. And I wasn't supposed to be in the band, but I kind of finagled my way in when I saw she was playing. They told me they only wanted 3 trumpets, but I just kept showing up anyway.
And then, thing to do. Kind
of
worked.
Right. And of course, we connected at the rehearsal. We just had a vibe for each other. And she told me I kind of looked like Doc Cheatham, who happened to be my grandfather. And then she was like, okay, well, you're taking me and my girlfriend to lunch now. And that kind of started our relationship. And after the show, she came down to the club where I had a show and sat in for like an hour. And we just vibed and we stayed in touch. And she came back a couple months later with Herbie Hancock and the Thelonious Monk Institute, doing like a State Department tour through Beijing and Shanghai, I think one other city. And we linked up. And she had, the night she arrived, she came down and saw me play with like a fusion band called the Alec Havoc Friction 7 at that time. A very eclectic rock fusion jazz very experimental pedals and sound effects. And she sat in with that band too. she's fearless. And
she's beautifully crazy. You know,
yes, exactly.
And so is China Moses, her daughter.
Yes, also equally.
Nutter.
Yeah. And then I guess after that, the next day we went to lunch and she said she would like to produce a record.
Wow.
She was looking for an artist and she felt that we would work well together. And the main thing she says, I don't want to make this a straight up jazz record. I want you to really use all these, because she's seen me do so many different, you know, be in so many different musical situations. She's like, I want you to incorporate all of that into a record. Which I said, oh, okay, so it's a challenge from the start. It was different. You know?
So here we are. You're here with Didi. You're playing at the Queen Elizabeth Hall as part of the huge EFG London Jazz Festival tomorrow. That's going to be, it's already sold out. It's going to be amazing. You're also at Ronnie Scott's tonight for a radio broadcast.
Yes.
It's exciting times. Exciting times.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And you've come down here with Didi's band. And when you first came to the door, I thought you were coming in Mobb Deep with a hip hop entourage or something. These like young guys got a hip hop disposition.
Yep.
Tell me about these guys.
Well, this is actually part of me and Didi working together is kind of she wanted to bring me into the kind of bring me out of China and into the rest of the world, which I had not given up on, but I had let go of the idea of touring and traveling. I just figured I'm just gonna focus on one thing. It's the first time in my life I ever did that. So these guys are part of my band actually, and so this year Didi has taken on my band, which is called Dark Funk with a V. That's DVRK. She's taken on my band, and we've been traveling and touring with her since March. And these are cats that I've known for 10 plus years and or also have like studied at Oberlin Conservatory that I've been in touch with, and we've all been doing our own thing, but now that I'm in the States and we have this project, we figured it'd be a good way to pull everybody in so that we could work together.
Talking about that conservatory, Donald Byrd.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you pretty much went in at the top there. Great teacher.
Yeah, fantastic
teacher. From trumpeter to trumpeter, what did you learn from him?
I learned a lot from Donald Byrd. It's so much. I mean, just trumpet wise. Even though he wasn't playing a lot at the time. I mean, he showed me a lot of stuff from Dizzy Gillespie, a lot of stuff from Clifford Brown. I mean, he just had so much knowledge from different trumpet players, Freddie, and he would show me kind of their way of playing. Like Dizzy has his set of fingerings that really expand your dexterity on playing the trumpet. So that, I mean, that's one of the many things that we dealt a lot with composition. I didn't officially have a class with him for composition, but I would come to his office twice a week or his home and
just nipping around to Donald Byrd.
Yeah. Just I would write in front of him basically. We would sit there for hours, and I mean, I was a freshman, and at the time, well, not at the time, even now, I wasn't really into the system of music education. I was more like, I want to hang with Donald Byrd. So that's where my time went.
More out of playing with the legend than studying.
Yeah, So, that was studying. That's the real, especially for how I want to, you know, for playing improvisational music or American music.
Great players kind of tell you have to unlearn it all in the end to find your own voice and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. You got to know the rules, but then you have to know how to get away with breaking all the rules.
Did you ever get in his plane?
No, I don't think he was flying anymore. I got in his. He had a minivan. Well, it's not a minivan. He had one of those giant vans, the blue vans with the gold, not the gold, with the wooden trim.
Oh, and like an RV thing.
Kind of, almost.
One of those giant, yeah.
One of those Mark somethings. And it was very old, but he had a brand new engine put on it. So that's just, and then in the back was just crates of music books. So
amazing.
That's Donald Byrd.
Yeah. I want to ask you just quickly, just to finish, your grandfather is the great Doc Cheatham.
Yes.
He lived to a grand old age, and you saw him performing live. Is he the reason why you took up the trumpet? In the end, I'm guessing it probably is.
He was definitely an influence and something I kind of discovered once I started getting into it. But I knew he was a trumpet player, and I always liked it. I don't know. You know, I've just always been into music. I cannot say that he's the reason specifically, but now he's definitely an influence and a source. It's interesting to have something so close to you, but you kind of get into it. I got into it my own way, and then that supported me, the fact that was there. So
consciously, that's great.
Yeah.
And are you in touch with your own indigenous American Indian heritage?
I mean, spiritually I am, yes. And of course, like through my grandparents and through my grandmother, I'm aware of it, and she sits me down and talks to me about it as much as her time that I can get. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Theo Croker here at Jazz FM performing with D.D. Bridgewater. I'll play another one from the album. This is Save Your Love For Me. This was done by Cannonball Adderley and Nancy Wilson.
Originally Bud Johnson. And it's something that D.D. didn't... Well, I had heard her tell the story how many people have tried to get her to record it. But so they... Not record it, but they'd make arrangements. She'd be like, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. And Nancy Wilson is one of her idols and influences. And when I gave her the demo for this, I said, would you like to do this on my record? And she said, why? I was like, because you tell other people you don't. So I figured maybe I could find a hip way to. And she said, okay, yeah, I like it. I'll do it. So
I love you. Good relationship here.
Yeah.
All right, let's play it. Theo, thanks for passing through. I've been a huge fan of what you're doing.
Thanks for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate your time out, sir.
Thank
save
you very
your
much.
Love, save your love. Save your love. Save your love. So in love with you, no one else in this world will do. Darling, please save your love for me.